Welcome back to the Dawn of Crime. It's a thrill to have you guys on the podcast again. I have to admit, I've let this thing go to wreck and ruin. And yes, I've had complaints from people saying that the short ones I've been posting up lately have been much too short and somewhat deceiving. So I'm going to try my best and put a few minutes into this, give you something to listen to. If you do have any topics you'd like me to cover off, try and keep them in my specialty. I guess that kind of area between, 1890 to 1930, organized crime in Australia would be a preference. Wouldn't turn my nose up at some Australian circus history, which I also have a bit of experience in, but on the whole, looking at true crime, do send me a message, and you can reach me at Roy Malloy Author on Facebook. You've actually got to write the word author. But if you've got a question, do sling it across. The other thing I get a few of every now and then is people that write to me and they say, have you heard of my relation? My relation is this person. And they name someone in their back catalogue of family members who had something to do with one of the people I've written about. And you also got to remember that prior to television, radio, modern entertainments, people had very, very little to do apart from talk to other people. And so it's highly likely, that 1920s period, that if you were related to a crook, they probably knew every other crook in town for the virtue of the fact that they would have hung out in pubs together. There were far less people. There was only 5 million people in the country back then. There's now more than 5 million people in Victoria. So really, it was such a limited pool that crooks tended to all know one another. So if I get these people, and in fact, today a lady wrote to me and she said, look, I've got a great-great-grandmother, and she swears that Squizzy Taylor went to Sydney, but I found no evidence of that. But she swears she met him in Sydney, and I was able to say, well, in the biography I published in 2020, also called Squizzy, I'm able to show he absolutely went to Sydney, and he had two brothers that were there. He was best mates with Norman Brunn and Snowy Cutmore. So therefore we have to assume that Squizzy also met and knew Tilly Devine and Kate Lee and, all these other fantastic, incredible creatures that were evil and vile, but they all knew each other. And it's highly likely that by 6 degrees of separation, this woman knew all those people in Sydney. So I guess it's it's one of those things that if you have a story to tell, I'd love to hear it. When I was writing the Squizzy Taylor biography in 2020, I'd done 7 years of research, but in the last year I made a Facebook page called Squizzy Taylor Stories. It's still there, and it was a place where I'd post regular Squizzy Taylor stuff that I found, and it inspired other people to write notes in the comments, things like, well, my grandfather knew a barber that had a bookie, that had a best mate whose brother knew Squizzy Taylor, those kinds of things. And tended to be that I'd researched them all, and I think last count I researched about 1,100 of them. Of them, there were only 3 or 4 that were I was able to authenticate, and maybe another dozen that seemed pretty plausible, but I just couldn't find any backing for. One of the ones that really astounded me was from a family who said, look, our great-great-grandfather, a guy called Fred Smythe, he owned 2 cars in Sydney Road, Brunswick, at a garage, which was very unusual for 1913, and he had a taxi service. And he used to drive Squizzy, and later he used to also drive Squizzy's wife, Ida Pender, around. But also they knew each other because they went to school together. And Squizzy and he went to Mentone Primary School. Big double-story red brick kind of building. And the floors were a little bit higher than usual buildings these days. And he said on Squizzy's last day of school, he was mucking around. He was in grade 5. And the teacher said, come up the front, I'm going to give you a cane. And Squizzy stood up, walked to the window, and jumped to the ground floor from the second floor, which was, he estimated, about 6 metres. And then he ran off, and that was the last time Squizzy ever went to school. I did the research, and lo and behold, the school has record of a kid called Joseph Leslie Theodore Taylor at school that year alongside this other guy. And in that mix also, I was able to find business listings for his chauffeur company, and it all kind of just stacks up very quickly because there's parallel information. So look, I find those bits fascinating, and if you have a story, I really want to hear it. I say that because I'm about to begin the process, the very long, arduous process of making a second edition to Squizzy. When I published it, I had done 7 years of hard graft. I'd read 30,000 newspaper articles. I'd interviewed people. I'd gone to National Archives. I'd done all the things you do, but I just couldn't do more than I did. What I finally ended up with was a book that I was pretty proud of. But in the throes, I had missed a whole bunch of things, I've got to be honest. And some of them are pretty significant. A lot of them are very small. Some of them are just things I'd like to add that are links that I hadn't made at the time. And some of the things just like that where people came to me after the book and they said, hey, just so you know, I've got this bit of knowledge. And I'd really like to include those. So I guess in the next couple of years, I'll be working on that. And it will take probably 2 years, maybe three. I've got other projects on the go at the moment. I mentioned this on social media and people have asked the question, but I just don't have the energy to type it out. I was in a car accident in 2019, just before lockdown, right at the end of 2019. A driver rammed the back of my car when I was stationary, sitting at lights, and this other driver ran straight up the back of me doing 80k looking at their phone, and it crushed my right arm against the steering wheel. So I have a lot of problems with my arm now, and I used to be able to smash out like 3,000 words a day on my phone. I'm now down to several hundred at best, and it hurts. So I'm just kind of rocking a hard place, and I just need to kind of plow along as and where I'm able. But in the meantime, I'm doing my best to try and get something, you know, presentable together. But the projects I'm working on at the moment include a third book in the series of major biographies that I've put together, the Dolly Gray biography recently, the Squizzy Taylor biography. Overlapping heavily, again, is next in line would be the Norman Brunn biography. And I'm calling it Brunn, B-R-U-H-N, which is German for brown, but Brunn with a subline, Death by the Razor, or Live by the Razor, still working title. And I'm working closely with the family who have been really supportive on that. I always find it really flattering when their families trust me with their own stories. They trust me also not to mock their ancestor or sensationalize the crimes, and I believe I do a sensitive job of that. I'm also working on a Dawn of Crime edition, which is looking at a few significant cases that overlap heavily with Jack the Ripper. And I've got to preface that I'm not a ripperologist. They're a whole other breed of true crime biography person, but I'm working on a Dawn of Crime series book. If you're not familiar with the Dawn of Crime, they've got a hell of a following, and I get a lot of messages from people who enjoy the Dawn of Crime series. There are volumes. We're up to volume 5 now, so this would be number 6. And every time a volume comes out, they sell very well because I just feel that there are... Each book has 10 to 15 short biographies in it, and they're easier to digest. You can kind of read one in a night before you go to bed, I guess. So I feel very flattered that so many people buy those. Like I said, the Dawn of Crime Australian Ripper will be coming out sometime early next year, I hope. And working on a deadline to try and get Norman Brunn out about this time next year. In the meantime, I've also got TikTok. Since I kind of was podcasting last, I opened up a TikTok account. I've posted a few fascinating clips that I've really enjoyed. I've also posted just some blog stuff like you're hearing now. But, you know, they're one of the things you might want to go looking for is my series of clips that I did that are called the tragedy clips. They're about houses that were present, you know, 100 years ago where something horrific happened. And let's say somebody killed their family in a house, and often those houses are still standing. So one of the ones I did was on a house that's in near Sunshine in Albin, and the house is still standing. At the time that I did I made the clip, the house was for sale, so I had all these photos from the inside of the house that were on the real estate listing page, and I made this clip about the dad who lived there in the 1912 or something like that, maybe the 1890s, but he came home from work and he just wigged out, and he'd had a horrific journey, really. I mean, I'm not excusing what he did, but he'd had a horrific journey, and he slaughtered his 3 children and himself. But I was talking to a friend of mine who worked in forensics, and she said, you know, if you went under that house, there's a very good chance if you had a black light, you'd still see human remains illuminated under the floorboards where those children died. And now somebody's probably bought that house since then and moved in. And man, right? So they're on my TikTok. So go check them out. They're back a little bit. But yeah, TikTok's a whole nother beast. I'm not really sure what else to tell you or update you. I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of research, and that's when I start to find stuff that I can talk about on podcasts like this. I'm going to be doing a few other podcasts with other content creators soon. Got a couple coming up because I just launched the book Dolly Gray, The Madam of Melbourne. And I've got a couple of interviews lined up, which I'll be putting on my social media. So again, follow me on Roy Malloy Author, and you got to write the word author. And you spell Malloy, M-A-L-O-Y, the laziest way you can spell it. But jump on Facebook and follow me there. I have Instagram as well. That's called The Ducks. No, sorry, it's called The Dawn of Crime, I think. Yeah, that's my handle on Instagram. Don't know. But follow me there. And if you are so inclined, if you go to my Facebook page, you can find the links to my newest book, Dolly Gray, Madam of Melbourne. And thank you all for following. I will be doing some more podcasts soon.